Now look at that.
It brings the Mexican out of Roxy. She gets all nationalist.
it's like a Aztec song in the pyramid.
Yes. Now here's the thing. John Cage was trying to get people to listen to the sounds of their environment. Here is Verrez predicting a common sound that'll happen within 6 or 7 years. You know, the air raid siren. And this is 1933. Hitler has just taken over Germany. Wow. And it's going to lead to an air raid siren world. And that's the new music. That's him as an artist telling people what's going to be invading their ears in short time. That's incredible.
Yes, it's the everything happening at the same time that Zappa really like. And he has 32 percussions organized there doing things.
And, and the drumming is like the militarization of society, first in Germany, then the rest of the world over the next 10 years. But it's chaotic drumming. It's decentralized. You have all these little gangs, like in Germany, you had the Goering's gang and Goebbels gang, and they're all fighting with each other. This is the first article that McLuhan quotes. In his first article essay in Explorations in December 1953, he quotes Albert Speer, the famous armaments minister, or design minister, who was put in jail after the war. And Speer saying the problem for Hitler was that telephones and other electric media, he couldn't control all his generals. They all started making their mini empires, mini states. And it's just total chaos. That's how I interpret. You have in the 19th century a uniform military marching, but it's chaotic marching by the time you get to the 30s, which is what Verrez is saying. You know, you got this general alert because everybody's being obsolesced by the global environment of radio, the disembodied environment, and you have the military trying to react. And it's kind of tripping and stumbling and not being very efficient, you know, mechanically. That's my instant analysis of that. Top it. Can you beat that? You got something you can add to what I said?
No, but maybe you would like to go to the 38:59
minute mark?
Yeah, that okay. He presents this dessert, like the desserts.
Oh, dessert, yes.
After he stopped... Verrez stopped composer from 25 years. He was composing again, and that was when Frank asked his mom to call him, and that's one of the first pieces with electronic media, so that's why also Verrez is important. He was one of the pioneers of electronic music.
It seems if you're going to be an artist on a deep level, you know, someone shaping the tribe, you have a megalomania. So Zappa, when he saw that Verrez did desserts, which you're saying is after his 25 years, that's he does desserts after his media fast, right? He comes back with desserts.
Yeah.
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 Zappa is living in the desert, Mojave Desert time. He thinks it's about him. He gets the Zappa thing going. He actually said that. He said, oh, my God, this great composer is writing about me. And that's what
yes, but
you have
now,
to have.
Now that we know how things work, it's like Ion's first presentation was like he came like this piece.
Yes.
He presented himself like, okay, here I am, and he turned on Zappa, and then you were into Zappa. All these weird connections really work like that.
About the year, it was about 69 or 70, where Zappa got to write an article, mainly Stereo Review magazine, 1970. I remember reading it on a street corner in Los Angeles while making illegal phone calls at a phone booth. Carol and I were doing. We were trying to tell some people in Canada what was up, and I was reading the article while getting ready to use the phone. And Zappa tells the story of his infatuation with Verrez. And the year before that, Uncle Meat came out, and I had the same experience without me knowing about the Varese and Desserts and Zappa, because there I'm looking at the cover of Uncle Meat, and there's a picture of Nova Scotia. And holy fuck, Frank's talking about me. That's how I interpreted the cover of Uncle Meat. Probably James Joyce. James Joyce probably interpreted some poem by Stefan Mallarmé or some symbolist, and he thought it was about him. McLuhan, he finds page 254 in Finnegan's Wake and has the name Mircea McLuhan. He says, holy shit, I'm in the book. This is required. If an art student does not have this experience and doesn't report it to the art teacher, then it's not a real art student. They must have the McLuhan. They must. Nobody at Alyssa's art class. Did you have it, Alyssa? Where'd you get it from? Eric Fischel? Where'd you get your mirror?
No, from Ion.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ion actually provides an awkwardy to everybody. That's a good point. What does Ion do? He makes everybody think it's about them. Everybody says, hey, he just said something. That's about me. And I'm here in Germany, in Cucamonga, Germany. And Zappa can see me. I mean, Ion can see me. That's a good point there. That's like everybody gets it from Ion, only the artist. But nobody in your class, Alyssa, in your art class ever said, hey, Alyssa, look, this painting by, Eric Fischel is about me. No one did that to you, did they?
No, but when something, yeah, you're right. You're right. No one did
that.
Yeah,
there's no real artist. There are no real artists in Indianapolis. Wherever you are, you in Indianapolis? Is that where you are?
Minneapolis.
Oh, the other Apolis. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
This is where I call Carolyn a zombie. Carolyn never thought it was about her. Did you ever have that experience in any way, Carolyn? In any culture or any medicine? Did you ever think it was about you in that way? I don't think so.
No, maybe not.
I don't think you needed the validation.
No.
You were a zombie of destiny. You're just going to go ahead and do it. Pay
right.
No attention. Carol was very oblivious to everything.
I was everywhere and nowhere.
Oblivious. So
is anyone else doing what you do, though? Do you know any other people who make it all about them?
I did a speed freak. Bob thinks that the album's about him.
Well, the mental definition is narcissistic personality.
Yes. But see, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't, I was observing the album, looking at the details, and I met Cal Schenkel 2 years later in the summer of 71, and we went to his place in Silver Lake, and he showed me the dental cabinets where he found the Nova Scotia map.
Mm.
I got to see where it came from. Because he had, the dental guy had left this place, and so he took over, started renting it, and he just, you'll see on Uncle Meat, all these dental files on the cover, he just took what was in the cabinet, like any modern, you know, quick fix it artist, you just grab whatever's around you and stick it on the album cover, and Zappa accepted it, and then Bob, who was the one who noticed the map of Nova Scotia, shows up to see the environment it came from. Now that's even more obscure. And the only reason we went to see Cal Schenkel is we were up at Zappa's house, and he couldn't see us, so Motorhead, who was one of the original silly people in the band, the guy couldn't play an instrument, but he'd be allowed to play his horn a little bit, and he'd make funny noises. Motorhead was living in the little cottage that you see on the cover of the second Hot Rats album. He said, you know, you should meet Cal Schenkel. So he called up Cal Schenkel, and Cal was in, and Cal said, yeah, come over. So we got in the cab and went over there, and I got to see the dental office. And then he played me and Carolyn the soundtrack for 200 Motels, which was going to come out as a movie in about 3 months from that point, like in November. So it was very nice. Always go where you don't think you should go. And then, I mean, I was going up to Zappa's house unannounced. Just knocked on his door at 1:30 in the afternoon. And you know what? He had just come back from... the Fillmore East, the closing of the Fillmore East, and he had just played with John Lennon and Yoko Ono, which became a big deal, a big controversy. And we were at Zappa's house the night before when that happened with Motorhead, with a local doctor kind of guy who was busted for dealing dope, and he was waiting to go to his trial. That's who we hung out with the night of the concert. Then the next day we came back to see if Frank was in, and he was still sleeping because he'd flown in late, you know, from New York. So there's the hidden story of that scene. But we didn't
create.
We didn't do a formal
create.
Invite. What?
Gestures create.
Did you?
Gestures create. Yes.
Do you still have the video where you went where we finished? I think it's 11:22. Maybe it's nice to listen to one more of this up.
Okay. I like to hear what he says. Now he's just
interaction with his.
Yeah,
yeah, I can tell you every time because the pieces are very long and very complex. But just the how he's interacting
he
with the audience,
them.
Trying to educate.
That's right. He's just like me on payday. You fucking idiots. You don't like Zappa. Well, fuck you. We're going to do Zappa for 5 fucking hours, okay? Now listen up and learn something.
You're just study Jones and McLuhan. Shut up.
That's right. And Zappa is very aware. Anybody makes a remark, he responds to it. You hear that? Anybody yells out something, he immediately tunes into it. He's not talking and just listening to himself talk. He's listening to the audience that's receiving what he's saying, and he's watching for the reactions immediately. Very impressive how he hears whenever anybody yells out something. You can just see a boring professor. They would be 3 remarks back. They'd be really slow. They wouldn't be responding instantly. Okay, just a second. I fix my headphone here. Okay, so I'm going to just continue it and see what he says about what we just heard.
Yes,
they all learn something. When you're laughing, you're clapping. No, when you're learning, you're clapping. I mean, what the fuck are they? They don't even know what they're clapping for. Wow, it's a long clap.
And now, folks, shut up. Now, folks, I'd like to introduce you to Susan, who is going to, huh? You're a rude son of a bitch, ain't you? Okay, good. It's you rude people out there need to hear this. The name of this piece is Density 21.5. That's right. So, please, be quiet while she plays it, so she can do it good for you. Sue Khan.
Now, if you like, 15:36 mark.
Okay, McLuhan says electric meeting urges the audience to get in the act. The audience can talk back.
Yeah.
And this audience can't stop themselves from participating,
right.
You know. They have to yell and perfect yells.
Yeah, and they seem like an organism.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't even know what they're applauding for. I mean, what do they think? That was a huge applause, man. That was big. And what are they? I don't know. Maybe it communicates to them. They go, "Wow, that guy did that. 9:33. It's got to be good. It's got to be important." So they respond. So we're going to go to 13 something.
15:36.
15:36. Okay, here's 15:34. Thank you. did. That's why these people are just applauding so they can participate. They're just doing it to jerk off, you know. All that frustration, having to be quiet for 5 or 7 minutes, has to come out. They just want to make noise. So they're not even responding correctly. They're responding for a different reason than normal appreciation. So.
Okay, you know,
that's love conditioning. Yes.
Now, I have this very interesting job that I get to do right now. I'm supposed to stand out here for 4 or 5 minutes while they change the stage over. Because the next piece that's going to be performed is Integral. Which, yes, I am feeling better. Thank you very much. Now be quiet. This is called Integral.
Well, then these pieces are very long, so I posted the.
Okay, I'll stop it.
I posted the link on your Facebook, so what if everybody wants to listen to the whole thing,
right,
they can do it. The link is on Bob's Facebook.
Right. Now, so here's Zappa. He's just doing what I do. I like this McLuhan interview. You're all going to fucking listen to it because I get a big kick out of it. I'm forcing you to listen to this shit. And he's trying to tell the electronic global audience to fucking pay attention, and they hardly, barely can tolerate him. He's trying to teach himself or project his own subjective favorites. He plays his favorites. It's, I never knew if Zappa understood the whole situation. You know, his art expressed the present, but he himself, there's many books written about him as an old-fashioned 19th century individualist composer, or the one book calls him the electric Don Quixote, you know, running around, you know, attacking old environments, old windmills, like in Don Quixote. It's hard to tell whether Zappa fully, personally, or one of the Zappas saw the, to the futility of his project. That he...
Yeah. Well, he was there for your entertainment, actually.
Right. He was there for me. Just Bob.
Yes,
to get me through the waiting period of 69 to 2000. I had 40 years in the wilderness.
Yeah, so that's the...
Wow.
The interval between you and I. And,
yeah, and, I had a great... I knew how to get slack within the terrible wilderness. I always had a good time.
Yeah,
in the
and he's not taking the environment as a barometer of his accomplishment, Bob. So he can be like you. He can be completely irreverent about what's actually happening.
Yes. Yeah, he is. He actually probably is satirical in presenting this stuff. He knew the audience would react this way. You know, this is the performance, his interaction with the audience, and what they are was part of his message. Of what the present day composer was up against. Wouldn't put it past him that he, the message of this whole thing is not Verez, but Zappa trying to put one little favorite on top of people.
can you see the imagery of the audience in the YouTube video? Is there a camera feed?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just, it's imagery of Verez himself, his history, his life. His faces.
I'm imagining these like people that go to orchestra concerts all the time sitting mixed in with these rock, you know, audience
animals.
Members and how uncomfortable they would feel, or maybe they would be like smiling and electrified by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is in a rock concert. This is not in a regular concert hall that the New York elite would go to.
Oh, right, you're
elite.
Right, okay. Uh-huh.
So they're in a dirty environment. It'd be very interesting to see if there's an interview with Ms. Perez about what she said about that concert. Because I've seen pictures of she and Frank together backstage, but where was she during the concert, you know? What was she thinking of all this? She looked like a nice lady, too, in the pictures of her. So we should try to see if there's any interview of her, what she thought of it all. Because it's an instructive phenomenon. He's taking the avant-garde of the past and showing how irrelevant they are to the present. He's actually doing what I'm doing, propping up something to show how great I am. I apparently appear to be a fan of Frank Zappa. I think Greg Russell figured this out. This thing is not about Zappa. He's out into himself. I imagine. I would
yes,
like to think that he listened.
He had to retrieve Varese because if he's going to be so important in music history, we have to know about Varese. So,
yeah, you have to know about Dr. Beter, May Brussel LaRouche, or I'm not important. I'm going to change the history of the 60s so that it all lines up that they were important, so that makes me important.
Yes, yeah. relevant, rigorous repentance.
That's right. Well, relevant, rigorous repentance. We're using your term, your meaning, Roxy. Alyssa and I came up with that the other day, that Zappa presented relevant, rigorous repentance. And
the new three R's.
The what?
The new three R's, you know, like reading, writing, and arithmetic, no more.
Yes, the
no
new
more.
Three R's, right, the new three R's.
Three R's.
So Greg Russo, I'm hoping that he didn't get told by somebody. He actually just started to listen to our Zappa series, and I don't know what we did in the first one, but if you listen to the first one, I'm sure eventually and Nutball or Roxy started saying, well, this is all about Ion and Zappa and Bob. You know, that's when you go, what the fuck is this? So he realized we were a cult.
Yes, but we're only doing this actually to explain Ion. So
that's right. Yeah. That's why we're doing this.
We're retrieving Zappa for Ion.
Yeah.
So he
that's
was
right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it works. And that's what amazed me, that all the stuff in my tiny note chart applied to Ion, including Dr. Beter, who was on the chart, and Beter caused it, for fuck's sake. That's damn pretty good psychic Bob work there, putting in the guys that would be relevant to Ion.
Yes. And, the other parts where Zappa talks is more or less the same, like, shut up, and then there is an intermission, and he says, go get something, drink, have fun. And then he presents dessert, and that's at the 38:59 mark, please. Maestro
well, how
Bob.
About, I want to hear how he ends it. So is there a break after this piece, Integral, that I can go forward to and find his remarks as before the intermission?
Okay, yeah, if you want to do that, it's the 27 and
okay,
9.
Good. All right. That's how Mexicans say numbers, Bert. 27 and 9. What the fuck does that mean, 27 and 9?
27 minutes.
Nine seconds. Okay, all right. Okay, I'm doing 26 and 57. 26 and
kind of a big deal, isn't
he? Yeah, Zappa always has the biggest responses.
Going to happen. This is intermission while they change the stage over again. They'll turn the lights on. You go out in the lobby and get something to drink. You know, have a good time. We'll be back in a few minutes and, yeah, sure. No problem. Like that? Okay, you guys all tuned up now? Alright, next piece that's going to be performed is very seldom performed. It was originally titled Dedications, and then the name was changed to Offran, which means offerings, and it's for a small orchestra with a soprano soloist. The soprano soloist is Lucy Shelton, and be quiet. Okay?
Do I go to 58, did you say, Rock, 58?
No, 38,
58.
59, please,
okay.
Maestro Bob.
This response is ridiculous. I mean, it's not bad music, but fuck, man, it's just flutes and stupid little instruments, not even interesting to the modern ear. But why are these people going nuts over this? Like, there's a mixture. They just love... They're celebrating Frank's
birthday, I guess. Yes, just
the
presence
of Frank. We're concert up to too, on stage.
They're what?
And, so we can't see what Frank is up to on stage while this is going on. And he's obviously entertaining the audience in some way as well, encouraging them.
Very nice musical effect there, Michael. Totally in the spirit of Red.
Yeah, that's so good.
Very clever, Michael. So maybe
she's...
Yeah, zap ass there, Michael. Maybe you need to call back in. You're really distorted. We don't know what you said.
Like it was like electrified. It was like the xylophone. Yeah, electric xylophone on top of your voice.
Yes, yes.
Is it still distorted?
It's still
is
there.
It's still distorted. Okay, I'm the phone back in, Bob.
Okay, so
it's like the resonance.
Right. Okay, so we're going to start it. Let's just say a few words before it, so Michael can come back and hear it. Anybody got any other ideas to fill in the dead air for a minute? What about Bert?
Well,
do you know anything about does Bert know anything of Varez? You ever heard of this stuff before?
Yes.
If you heard
yes.
It? When we were
first talking about Zappa, when we started the Zappa series, I remember reading up
right.
on about Zappa's fascination. Also, by the way, Ion has two Zappa YouTubes on the master playlist. He has when he played the bicycle on Steve Allen, and he has Zappa's last interview, which actually has Zappa just talking about Varese on it.
Wow. But that's Ion celebrating the murder of Frank. Yeah,
he has to add Ion. Do have to add ionization. It's in honor of you, Sugar Love.
Yeah, we'll have to see what he says, Sugar Love. Yeah. What do you say, Sugar Love? What is that? You like that, Sugar Love? So,
Super Sugar Love. Super Sugar Love.
Rocky.
Is that corrected, Bob? Is that corrected
oh, yeah.
or
still?
Yeah. Okay. Now you're good.
Better.
So what were you saying,
now
Michael?
Now we know you are an android.
Yeah.
I was saying that, I was saying that, that in relation to the amount of applause that is being given, we also cannot see the visual of what Zappa is actually up to on stage. And we know how he likes to entertain the audiences.
I don't think he's doing any. He would be speaking. I think he's just...
What's he wearing?
Yeah, Carolyn just said he could be shaking hands like he does in that great video of Muffin Man, or receiving panties, panties thrown up on the stage. That's pretty good. Carolyn knows her Zappa.
Just like That's you, Bob. Clear. Just like you, Bob.
Yes.
Hello, talking, yeah. Panties thrown, Bob.
Yeah, so, what?
Roxy, did you say that Verez was the beginning of electronic music?
He was one of the pioneers, and he is going to explain that when he presents Desert.
Ah, okay. Cue it up.
And, you know, we had Gail on, Gail and Reiner, a couple of weeks ago. Gail wrote a book on Hugh LeCain, one of the first electronic composers in the world. He was a Canadian. And so she did a book on him way back in 89. So you might want to look at he's not as well known internationally, Hugh LeCain, but he was very avant-garde in this electronic field. What?
You see on the Perlicious video, there were people working on different type of machines since the 19th century, and
yes.
There had been people doing things in Russia and Germany, but the recognized pioneer of electronic music is Stockhausen and Pierre Boulez, but there were people doing many things already at the end of the 19th century and at the beginning of the 20th century. But maybe their music didn't transcend, or their machine.
Right. Right. But Verez, he was pretty innovative, right? The way he brought in these other sounds. He's given credit as being a real original. Right?
Yes.
Isn't he considered an original of that? Multi-level
yes,
music.
Yes, he was so original that even in the avant-garde blocks
yeah.
him, criticize him
right,
so
right.
much that he had to stop.
But that siren is so perfect. Talk about having perfect pitch for his time. That's
yeah,
what,
the siren. That's
and
iconic.
Having to go constantly. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good. And Ion is
But would
an
you
alarm.
Say that, is that an effect proceeding cause?
Hey, Michael, let me just finish your thought. Ion is fire alarm, or the alarm. That's what Ion's been saying. You know, he's here to prepare you the last minute. He's in the middle of the disaster. So the siren is going. The disaster has started. So ionization is literally, hadn't thought of this before, literally describing Ion's effect. Literally, that's, how would you present what Ion is if you try to tell your neighbor, or someone, you'd say, well, there's an urgency happening here. The environment, the boiling point, everything's changing. Dew line. Yeah, he's a distant early warning system. But it's not 30 years, it's 10 minutes ahead of time. Look out, next week, shit's going to happen to you. Or it's already happening. That's the point of the siren. It's on because the disaster has started.
Railroad coming through.
Railroad, that's from Fire Science Theater.
And the siren is an important archetype in the Odyssey.
Oh, that's right. The sirens in Ulysses. That's right. The travelers always got wiped out by the siren. So radio is the new siren. Radio is changing people and going to cause a global war. In the global war, village. That is what Joyce is featuring, the radio effect.
Well, it's like a metaphor of all media. It's the singing of these sirens that attracts us and at the same time can destroy us.
Right.
Well,
so
the siren also is, it's the same as when we say Bob kills someone when they listen to them, that the siren does the same thing. So Bob is also representative of the siren.
That's right. That's CKLN, man. I was a siren at CKLN. And I would get on there and offer to kill people. I actually knew what I was doing. I said, okay, I'm going to kill you. So different DJs would have me on their particular program and see if I could kill them. And they always admitted I did. Because I blow their mind.
Also,
I come up with something that they had never thought of.
Also, the siren tonally is like a sine wave. It's smooth up and down, and so there's an element of this shifting that happens, and the interval and the sliding and the gap, that's all kind of taking place tonally as well.
Yeah, I mean, I never focused on this thing. I was just going with the word, but hearing it today, it is a good thing to play. What is ion? Play ionization for people. It's so literally accurate. I mean, that's even more incredible. And he calls it ionization. Wow, that's pretty
that's huge.
Glad you forced us to listen to this.
It's
Rocky.
Very huge.
These are the very sophisticated poetic jokes of Ion.
Yes. Say it again, sophisticated poetic jokes? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because he always said they were cultivating things, always,
right.
In many creations.
Yeah.
So he was putting himself everywhere.
So, and, so it's...
Yeah, let's listen to the presentation of desserts.
Yeah, I'm impressed at Ion's selection of Zappa videos, the beginning and the ending. He has the bicycle, 63 to almost 88. It's pretty good. Okay, so we're doing at 38 minutes, was it?
38, I can't believe there was another composer, like you just mentioned earlier in the show, that had the same years, but the century before?
Right. Two centuries before, 200 years
centuries.
Before.
Wow, okay.
And it's during the American Revolution, that key period. LaRouche writes a lot about the period, 1763 to 1788. That's a really key period, the beginning of the United States. The making of the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, all that, that's a key area, period. Just like 63 to 88 begins with the Kennedy assassination, then leads to the CIA director becoming president, George Bush, you know. That's a key, that's Zappa's era, the turbulence. So, does it start at 29? Am I right? What number? Am I 38 or 28?
38.
38, yeah. I
world
38,
59.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, now I think this changer is going to take a little bit longer, but, sure, you got one? Yeah. Why not? Make some happy. Let me tell you what the next piece is going to be. Huh? Of course. It's lovely. My work clothes. Wait a minute. I'm trying to talk to these people. Next piece is called...
That's great.
Is there a really suave? And when I was a kid and made a phone call to Varese, I believe this was the piece that he had just finished in around 1955 when I tried to talk to him on the telephone. And it was one of the first things that he did. Back in the olden days. Yeah, I'm 40 years old. What's the difference? So, no problem. Anyway, That was one of the first things that he completed after he had stopped composing for all those years. And it's the most difficult piece that they're going to be playing tonight. And it also has sections which are being brought to you on tape. Barres prepared. Some of you don't know this, but he was one of the pioneers of electronic music. A lot of the things that you hear now on records that are electronic effects and the techniques were pioneered by Barres. And he was ahead of his time, that's right. Maybe a million years ahead of his time. Better than the Beatles, really. Much better. not bigger than the Beatles, but better than the Beatles. So, let me tell you some more about this piece. Listen to me when I explain this to you. This piece deals with the problems. You know what the basic problem of composing is? You get a blank sheet of paper, and the problem is, what do you do with it? And, sometimes you put down things that aren't chords. You put down organized pieces of sound material. And the style of this composition is slightly different than the other ones. To my ear, it sounds a little bit more like the type of thing that Anton Webern would have done. And I found out last night, I was talking with Mrs. Barres on the phone, and she told me that there had been letters back and forth between Barres and Webern, that they knew each other and knew each other's music. So that kind of confirms my suspicion about this particular piece. There's a lot of open space in it. There's a lot of really carefully balanced sounds. And it's not banging and crashing like it's not that it's so
avant-garde.
It's so good is what it is. You know, so the best thing about Varese's music, as far as I'm concerned, is he took a difficult problem and found an interesting solution, and one that I think is going to last a long time. And you guys were really smart to come down here tonight and hear this. And I hope you enjoy it. So, have you guys set the stage back there? If you did, go yeah. Not you, I'm with you. If you didn't, go no. They don't know what they're doing back there. Anyway, part of this piece is on tape, so don't be surprised when the orchestra stops and the lights go down and the sound just comes out of the speaker. Can I read this? Okay. So they're ready to begin now. This piece is 23 minutes long and it requires a lot of concentration, both by them and by you. It's called Deserts or Desert, and I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, the piece is very long, so I don't think we could listen to that. It's really long, but maybe we could listen
to hear what he had to say. I want to say one point. Definitely a Bob element there when he says, "You guys are really lucky that you're here. You're really smart." I'm always
saying
that.
Yeah.
You were so smart because you're here. What?
It's also bringing up Iron's comment of live and Memorex, you know, because he's playing a tape and a live orchestra at the same time.
Yeah. And this great comments, great Zappa thing, and he said the people in the back don't know what they're doing.
No, he asked the people if they're ready with the setup, and the audience says no, yes, no. Oh. And he uses that when he works with the Ensemble Moderne in Welcome to America. They ask, sir, yes or no? And the musician goes, yes, no.
The later, Zappa had problems with the unions. They thought he was an anti-union guy, and they'd fuck with his stage setting, you know, in the 80s, big concerts. They would he had lots of different complaints. They'd screw up on this, screw up on that, not show up, you know. He had to be in New York City, you know, mafia-run, Teamster-run kind of city on the low culture level. He had to be careful what he said about unions, because they would know. And he's also doing Perez in New York, because New York, he said, was his favorite audience. They're the most alive, the most whatever. If this was in Toronto,
the best
he wouldn't
educated
have got a
peep. Fans.
Yeah, the best educated, the stupidest people.
The best
they're not
trained.
Americans, whatever they are. New Yorkers are a species of their own. But if this was in Toronto, it would have been total silence. No audience interaction. I mean, these guys are nuts. They're typical New York Bronx cheer people, yelling, screaming, rude. They don't give a damn what's going on. They're just happy to be there and communicate themselves.
He sounded like a high school teacher. He sounded like a high school teacher.
I'm thinking of welcome back Carter.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of, welcome back Carter.
Yes, and
which was a famous high school show.
One of the ways he was erasing these boundaries between high and low art is he will appropriate things from classical music and intervene them or disguise them in his music. And he, I sent you a video where the mothers play Barres, and he does a rock band version of Octandre, a piece
really?
By Barres.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. It's a good point here. He had to make it in rock and then make it in classical so that he could put the rock audience in the classical setting. I mean, there's manipulating grounds. Audiences are ground.
Wow.
That's incredible. He's mixing audiences, and he had to achieve a back. He had to become noticed enough to get a rock audience. Then he had to be accepted by an orchestra to play the music, and his whole point was to satirize everybody and everything else.
I think Alyssa said that a while back.
Oh, okay.
He'd manipulate the audience and the venue.
Okay, well, I'm saying, looking at the work he did, he was successful. He had to become a success, and that was only the foreplay. His real thing was to actually do this, get Perez being, you know, rudely interrupted and all that, and have the crowd cheering too long for the wrong reasons.
He was educating the voters for Trump, but he thought
preparing the world for Trump. and he said, listen, he said his home was, he described his home, the one that he most of his life was in Woodrow Wilson Drive, he says it's done in Rumpelstiltskin decor. That's what he said.
Wow.
Rumpelstiltskin, he said it right there. Rumpelstiltskin. His own house. Woo, woo. And I'm the only fucker in the world who knows this stuff.
Yes, you mother.
Yeah, I'm a mother, man. I'm a fucking mother.
Yes, your mother. Yeah, this video we can listen complete because it's only 1 minute, 19 seconds.
What's that? What are we going
to
do? Are we finished?
We
well, let's hear the ending. I want to hear how this ends. Can we go to the ending and hear the 10-minute applause? Right. Let's see. So there's a couple more pieces. Does he say anything interesting that we might be missing?
It's all the time the saying shut up and this and that.
The same stuff. All right. Now, he's saying he's 40, and he's got Miss Perez on the phone, and we'll have to look up what happened in 83. That's where he did another tribute, and I guess that's when she showed up, but apparently she's not there on this one. So we'll see. So I'm going to go. It's a minute 20. It's almost an hour and 22 seconds, so I'll go to the 1 hour 19-minute part. Not 20, 1 hour and 22 minutes, and then now we'll go to the 1 hour and 19.
She does.
He's already talking, so let's go back.
Some green stuff drizzled on the top. Look, let me see whether they're finished moving the furniture back here. Thank you. Oh, just a few more minutes, folks. Somebody in the audience just asked, how come he only wrote 10 pieces? Well, I'll tell you why, even through the distortion here. You like the distortion like that? Okay. He only wrote 10 pieces because he stopped composing for about 25 years because everybody gave him a bad time. Hated it. The reason that they hated it is because they were stupid. But these things happen in America. But at least we do have 10 pieces that we can listen to, and you're going to hear 5 of them tonight. And as soon as they get everything organized back there, well, maybe they'll have another concert and play the other 5. The other ones are for a large orchestra. This is, I think the total number of musicians that are working here tonight is either 30 or 40. It's like a chamber orchestra. I don't know what happened to it. Okay, all right. They must be ready back there by now, I hope. Okay, good. They are. I didn't bring my guitar. I brought my necktie instead of my guitar. What? Put on the tie tack? Okay. Roy Estrada is now in Colorado. Okay, any other questions? No problem.
I like that. They yell at, where's Roy Estrada? That's like saying somebody yell at, where's Bob Marshall? In the Bob Orchestra. But I'm really, holy shit, is Zappa like me? Holy fuck. I mean, just the way he said something there. They didn't like that shit because they were stupid, just like you people are stupid. Why did they like Perez? Oh, because they were stupid. So, yes, he's very, very honest, very direct. That's what we have on payday. I mean, I've announced everybody who ever knew me in different worlds, and Chernobyl and Ion, I've pronounced them, if they fail to make the grade, they're fucking stupid. They that they never understood nothing about me, even though they claim to be experts, because they're not here today. They should be here today. We're presenting Zappa in a way different way than anybody else is presenting Zappa. It's more fun this way. Let's see. And, you know, it's interesting, Roxy, as a little girl, heard about Zappa in the mythology and electronic music as a kid.
Wow.
Because her teachers were into Zappa, well, had to be aware of Zappa. Yeah. Right, Roxy?
That's great.
Yes.
But Roxy ignored that. She had to do her own creativity. She ignored Zappa for 40 fucking years.
No,
30 years. I don't know.
I like Zappa, but I like even crazier things.
Right.
Stockhausen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you could say that. But you didn't have the McLuhan background to get the figure ground meaning of Zappa. So when you showed up here, we then told you why Zappa should be a little more attentive to him.
Yes,
which you learned your lesson well.
I learned everything from Bob.
She learned about what she learned. She didn't know what she had learned.
Wow.
She
had
all that
great
data and didn't know what the meaning of meaning. She was reading all these philosophers about the meaning, and she didn't know what the meaning of the meaning was.
Yeah, now the healing round of the big work and all that.
Yeah, and all that. The big work. Yes, and Carol used to go around 40 years ago and say, well, we're doing the great work. The great work. I go, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know that it was we. I was doing the great work.
That's right. Yeah, I'm the fucking bingo maniac. The fucking great work.
That sounds too much like work.
Yeah, yeah. The great play is what we should be doing. That's right. Carol went around saying the great work, and I thought, I don't know about that, Carol. I don't know. Great work. I kept it to myself, though. And she would say it about once every 10 years. If you... say it, I'd forget. I had forgotten. I'd be surprised that she knew it. Remembered it, so. Turned out to be true. No greater work witnessed on the planet today.
Yes, so to celebrate that, let's listen to the mothers playing Berets. This guy saying
right.
Contemporary music as rock.
Right, so I'll move it forward a bit. Since we can't stand Berets' music, actually, so we'll move it forward just a bit and get to
the... I sent you another video. This is
okay, so let me just finish the audience. I want to hear how he says goodbye. So start about here.
Underwood is working in the studios in Los Angeles. Ike Willis is probably...
He's talking about Ike Willis.
Waiting for...
Okay.
He is now in Colorado. Okay, any other questions? No problem. You see this thing here? This was a gift that a young gentleman prepared for me. This is an actual baby snake's Tay Tac. It looks like a marble with green stuff drizzled on the top of it with two little blue eyes, and it's supposed to go on your tie. So I'll now anoint myself. The movie is going into distribution in about 2 weeks in the Pacific Northwest. We're doing it ourselves, one step at a time, and it will eventually come back to New York.
Baby snake.
A little while, it'll be back. Huh? What? The band tonight? Well, let's see. Name a guy and I'll tell you where he is. Vinny? Vinny is probably waiting for a contractor to call him for a studio date. Jimmy Carl Black lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Don Preston, he's getting ready to do a tour with the Grandmothers. Ian Underwood is working in the studios in Los Angeles. Ike Willis is probably sitting at his house in the San Fernando Valley right now. Captain Beefheart is probably in the trailer.
What was the trailer?
Have you guys finished back there yet? One at a time, please. Now, one moment. Listen to this. Mrs. Berets is here tonight, and she's 90 years old, and I don't think that she's going to enjoy having all this razzmatazz going on, so calm down a little bit and give her a break. What? J.H.? Oh, John Hancock, of course. No problem. Ray Collins drives a taxi cab in Los Angeles. What? You bet.